It's 7:43. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. A Mingo County mystery, more than a century old, details a dark time in West Virginia.
They would threaten, they would blackmail, there were kidnappings, there were threatenings of kidnappings, of murder, unless you paid a percentage of your business.
That story and more coming up on this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. The campus of a recently shuttered West Virginia university may soon see students again. Chris Schultz has more.
Alderson Broaddus University closed last year due to financial issues that led to the private university losing its ability to grant degrees. On Wednesday, West Virginia Wesleyan College announced it is exploring offering courses, degree programs, and training opportunities on the Phillippe campus. The proposed offering is part of a partnership between Wesleyan and Battlers Knob LLC, the company that acquired the Alderson Broaddus campus in bankruptcy proceedings. James Moore, president of the West Virginia Wesleyan College, said in a press release on the college's website that there are still, quote, several steps to complete with accreditors, unquote, before classes can begin. But the college is, quote, excited about the potential of having a presence in this community. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
Pocahontas County recorded its first tornado this week. We have more from Jack Walker.
The funnel cloud rolled through fields in the Hillsborough area Wednesday evening. Local emergency response officials say no damages or injuries were reported. Emergency response officials will also survey the area this week. West Virginia has recorded more tornadoes this year than any before. As of early August, 19 tornadoes were reported, mostly in the southern region of the state. National Weather Service meteorologist Tony Edwards said one reason for the increase is new tech like drones, which bring better tornado detection.
And, I think if that event had happened 10 years ago, we wouldn't have called so many of them tornadoes just because of we'd have been limited to ground surveys.
Edwards said this has also been a record-breaking year for neighboring Ohio, which reported its 71st tornado this week. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
110 years ago, there was a murder, a payroll robbery, and a posse chase through the hills of Mingo County. West Virginia Public Broadcasting has reached back into the golden age of radio to create a radio play of the event called The Last Train to Glen Allum. It premieres at 8 p.m. on your local station. News director Eric Douglas, who wrote the play, sat down with historian Stan Bumgardner to discuss the event and the atmosphere in Mingo County at the time.
I've often wondered this massive influx of immigrant populations coming into work in the mines and on the railroads. Was there a lot of pushback amongst the native-born, or did they remember that they were just most of them just one or two generations removed themselves and didn't worry about it a whole lot?
There was it was an interesting situation. There was a very anti-immigrant philosophy that was happening, all across the country, that the immigrants were coming in, and at that point, particularly from Eastern Europe, and that they were taking jobs away from native-born West Virginians. And native-born Americans. But there weren't enough laborers to fill the jobs. I mean, West Virginia's economy was really booming, and that's something that sounds, it sounds like something we can't relate to because of what West Virginia's economic situation has been for so long. But people were pouring into West Virginia to fill jobs, and they couldn't fill the jobs fast enough, whether it was in coal mines or factories, wherever. And so there was a need for all of this labor. But and this gets into some of the labor and trying to stop the labor movement from developing, is that coal operators would. One of them, Justice Collins, even referred to it as a judicious mixture, which was we want the right balance of native-born whites and blacks and immigrants to help balance off each other, and it was successful at times. I mean, they fomented this resentment toward these other groups. so they wouldn't pull together and unionize.
So the Black Hand, let's talk about that for a second. So as my understanding, a lot of that was up in the northern part of the state, in the Italian community, but up in the northern part of the state. But kind of give me the short version of what the Black Hand was.
The Black Hand was, and it's often associated, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it's even used interchangeably with the mafia, but it's not, it's a variation of all of that. The Black Hand, they were principally into extortion, and it was extortion by Italian immigrants and Italian Americans against Italian immigrants. That they would threaten, they would blackmail. There were kidnappings, there were threatenings of kidnappings, of murder, and unless you paid up money, unless you paid a percentage of your business, that, you know, if you were an Italian storekeeper, you were a target. If you were an Italian, any Italian professional who made money was a target of the Black Hand.
If you were the subject of this, you would get a letter. I don't know if it was in the mail or it was just stuck under your door, but and there would be a drawing of a Black Hand on it, or a couple of different other symbols. But and that's kind of the root of it, is where it got its name, was just that they included these drawings to denote, you know, we're coming for you.
And it wasn't just a one-time deal usually. It was that once that you paid up to them, you kept paying to them.
Sure.
It was a regular racket. So you had to pay a percentage of what you brought in. And it was a very scary time for Italian immigrants. And that's a key point, is that it was such a small percentage of people, of Italians, who were doing this to other Italian immigrants, that they were taking advantage of these people, and who had limited, you know, knowledge of the laws, of the language, of anything else. And, you know, many people felt like, well, the law enforcement's not going to protect us. You know, our fellow, you know, our neighbors aren't going to protect us. So we have to either pay up or defend ourselves.
That was Stan Bumgardner speaking with Eric Douglas about the setting for tonight's radio drama, The Last Train to Glen Allen. It premieres tonight at 8 o'clock, and you can hear a longer version of that interview immediately following the play. You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. It's 7:51. Rain likely today. It could be heavy at times this afternoon as the remnants of Hurricane Helene move north across the state. High temperatures today will be in the 70s to the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of rain, lows in the upper 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, highs in the mid-70s to the low 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by West Virginia CASA, building a community of volunteers appointed by the courts to represent the interest of children in foster care during court proceedings statewide. For more information, go to wvcasa.org. This week's premier broadcast of Mountain Stage takes us to the historic Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center in Clarksburg. Mississippi native Paul Thorne has performed on Mountain Stage more than 10 times and stopped by Harrison County for another show. Before becoming a singer-songwriter, Thorne was a professional boxer, and his forthcoming album, Life is Just a Vapor, packs a punch. Our song of the week is a track off that album of the same name.
Ice cream at the Doubletree in Sweet 1019. Don't tell Fiona she won't understand. Life is a vapor, let's live it while we can. Took mama fishing, put her lunch in a sack. We caught a few brim, but we threw them all back. It don't matter that she don't know who I am. Life is a vapor, let's live it while we can. Every day's a gift, breathe in and hold it. Every day's a gift, it's gone. For you know it, life is just a vapor. 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 Most Sunday evenings, me and my friends get together where the driveway ends. We bring our guitars, we have a little jam. Life is a vapor, let's live it while we can. Every day's a gift, breathe in and hold it. Every day's a gift, it's gone before you know it. Life is just a vapor.
Paul Thorne performing Life is Just a Vapor on Mountain Stage. It comes from his upcoming album of the same name. Hear that performance and more by tuning in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day at our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Keelan Bailey, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, Maria Young, and Randy Yoey. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This has been West Virginia Morning.